Welcome to St. Pete Runfest Good Sweat Podcast. This is Ryan Jordan. I'm here with older brother Keith Jordan,
and welcome.
We've got our esteemed guest this fine day here in St. Petersburg, Lisa Chase from Back to Normal. And so the Good Sweat Podcast is something we started now this year as a way to highlight the wonderful makers in our community that are helping us not only with our event but making our community stronger, better, as part of our Good Sweat initiative. And we thought it'd be appropriate to bring in Lisa Chase, the owner and founder of Back to Normal, which has been a partner of Runfest since the inception. And so good morning, good day, Lisa.
Well, hello. This is so good much fun to be here.
Yes.
It is great to have you, and it's wonderful, too, as we've met many years ago.
Yeah.
When I came in, because I had problems trying to stay on the tennis court, which now is probably 10 years later, and I am still having problems, but the good news is you helped me get back on the court, so thank you for that.
Well, that's what we do. We get people back to doing what they love.
And I'm intimately aware of their work because I'm there quite often, and they've done an amazing job with me.
Awesome. Well, we love you guys.
We love you too.
Well, Lisa, I thought it's important because, you know, when, of course, we've known you for a long time, and you've been part of Runfest since the beginning.
Yeah.
And, you know, in preparation for today, I looked at your background, and I found it very interesting. And I was curious if we just start with your background. I see that you're still going up to Michigan.
Yes.
Where you actually teach at Michigan State. And so I'm just curious, you know, what are you teaching up there? Tell us a little about that, because that's, I think, super interesting. Yeah, because a lot of times when you think back to normal, you think, okay, well, this is PT, but it's so much more than that. And we'd love to kind of hear a little bit more about, you know, kind of what you're doing up at Michigan State.
Sure. Well, you know, look, at Back to Normal, our vision is promoting whole body healing and getting people back to normal. And the way that you do that is really looking at the whole person. And so at Michigan State, I teach in the College of Osteopathic Medicine there. And from an osteopathic perspective, you're looking at the whole system. So we teach physicians, physical therapists, and even both DOs and medical doctors how to look at the whole system and then to do various manual techniques, whether it be something called muscle energy or we do cranial sacral. So there are various different techniques that we use with our hands to help restore mobility and function in the body. So I'm up there teaching, and most of my staff now has been going there as well, and they're implementing a lot of these treatment techniques, and it is really one of the key things that helps get our patients better quickly.
So cranial, I thought you were just massage. Yeah, you know, I mean, cranial, that makes me think that's a whole lot more going on here than muscle.
Yes. We work with the joints, the fascia, the nerves. And so the cranial system is actually the cranial bones and how those little teeny bones can move. And sometimes those can get restricted. And so we can go in and we can restore the movement and then also the connective tissue around that. So yes, there's various techniques that we can do to restore that function that can help with headaches, face pain, even low back pain, a variety of different conditions that can come from imbalances in the cranial system.
Yeah, that is
amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. I know, Keith, you are often in back to normal.
I've had quite a few of these treatments, actually, and it is really, really interesting, and it's especially when they start working on your cranium. I was like, oh, how does this work? But it's amazing stuff, though. Yes,
yeah,
for
cool.
sure.
You got a lot of problems with your cranial system.
I have a lot of problems with my cranial system.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
Thankfully, I have Back to Normal to fix the problems with my cranial system. Yes.
It's interesting too, because I often, you know, we'll talk about, you know, you and the services and I think it's interesting too, because Back to Normal, I think a lot of people think it's like a chiropractor, and so I think when you start talking about that holistic, and I think that's super interesting, because I know even talking with Keith, that has had, you know, dry needling, and I don't know what any of this stuff is.
Yeah.
But and maybe I need it because I'm still not performing like I need to be on
well,
the court.
Absolutely, and, we need to get you in there.
Yeah, and someone the other day even asked who was older between me and my older, much older brother. So I started thinking, I need to do a lot more. So I don't know. Could you tell me what's this needling all about? Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So several years back, we were, as physical therapists, and many years ago, we were not able to do dry needling. So dry needling is very different from acupuncture. So it uses a very small needle that is the size of an acupuncture needle. But what we're doing is we're looking at areas in the muscle where the muscle becomes very taut. So it's lost, it's very, very tight, and it's lost a lot of the blood flow and oxygen. So when you put the needle in, it actually triggers a signal up to the brain, and it helps to relax that muscle. And it restores the function. It gets people out of pain. Initially, it can be sore. Your muscles can be sore for about 24 hours.
Yeah.
But people are amazed at how much just one or two needling sessions can really restore mobility and function and ultimately get people out of pain.
Do you have any pictures of Keith getting needled?
Actually, I do.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, we'll be posting that shortly.
I granted consent for that. I'm not sure that was a wise choice, but I... But it does work. Yeah, actually, I had needling in my face even.
Yes.
So.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, maybe even the cranial part. I'm not sure. But yes, it's really interesting because you'll have these needles and all of a sudden you'll feel it just release.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting feeling. And then all of a sudden you feel very different.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I've got one more question. So in preparation, I was... just reading some things about what you've done in the past, and there's a story I was reading about a marathon runner, and something about a pelvic clock.
Oh my God, it's so funny that you say that, because when I was looking at like some of the questions, and you're like, an interesting story, that was the story that came to me. So yes, this client is she's actually over at the studio right now because she's still doing her Pilates. So when I was working with her, she was training for the London Marathon. And so the pelvic clock is a way that we can teach patients how to self-diagnose where there's a problem with the joints in the spine or in the pelvis, and then give them exercise strategies to get themselves out of pain. So I was teaching it to her, and she was like, "Ugh, I hate the pelvic clock." And then I said, "I swear, one day you are going to thank me for the pelvic clock." And so she's over in London, and she's, you know, her back gets a little tweaked from the flight, and she goes and she does her pelvic clock, and she sends me an email. She goes, "I love the pelvic clock."
And that's not something you hear every day.
It's not. So it's just a kind of a funny story. It's great.
We're very interested in what the pelvic clock was. So yeah.
It is a way that you can self-diagnose various restrictions in the spine, and then do some interventions that get you out of pain.
I think we both need the pelvic clock, Brian.
I
for sure.
It sounds like we all do.
Yes,
and
yes. I think everyone.
I want to scream someday, "I love my pelvic clock." So, so we'll see. But I found that super interesting.
Well,
gets me just, you know, thinking about so much more of the holistic, you know, because it seems like when, you know, we're out running or, you know, whatever our fitness is, and it feels like once one thing breaks, another, you know, like for me, it was my calf, and then, you know, my right calf, and then it was my left hip. And it just gets me thinking about that holistic approach that I think that a lot of us, you know, we end up kind of just suffering through a lot of individual injuries, not thinking about how it impacts the whole body. And I'd be curious, because I know I had the good fortune of going to visit you, and the assessment process, I guess if you could get into a little bit of that, because I think, you know, our audience, in terms of, my guess is they feel a lot of the same pains that we do. And, you know, a lot of times we just muscle through it, and oddly, it doesn't get better. And so, we don't get better. And I know when we went and I spent time with you, I actually did get better. And, you know, and so I'd be curious just in terms of, you know, kind of, you know, for those that are curious and maybe suffering the same pains, you know, how do you start?
Well, the first place I start is I listen. And I always say the mystery is in the history. And so when I bring clients in, I spend much of my time asking a lot of questions so I can really get a clear picture as to how did this person get here? What might be some of the triggers? What are other things that are influencing, like diet or sleep or stressors? Are they warming up if they're an athlete? Are they cooling down? You know, are they timing what they're eating and when they're eating and things like that? So getting a really clear picture is, to me, the first step. And then I kind of, by the time I'm done with my history, I kind of already know what I think is going on. And then I do my exam, and then I do a full body exam. And then, so a musculoskeletal exam where we're looking at how things are moving, what's restricted, muscles, et cetera, what might be causing pain. So I get a very clear picture from a musculoskeletal perspective what's going on. And then we also do what's called a heart rate variability assessment, which assesses their nervous system. So we can see, are they in a constant heightened state, that sympathetic state, like where you feel like somebody's like chasing you or a bear's chasing you all the time? Or can your body go in and out of that state? Because we do need that to be in sometimes that mode. But you should be able to go back into the parasympathetics and relax. So it gives me a very good idea if somebody has a very low heart rate variability, then I know stress is going to impact their pain. And I might not be able to get them out of pain until I address the stress component. So we have various technologies and techniques and different things that we do to help calm the nervous system. Because if I don't do that, I can't push them very hard in their treatments, because it's just going to heighten their nervous system. Doing dry needling might not be the thing that I would do right away, because the nervous system is so heightened. So we look at that. We also do an in-body scan, which is a body composition. So we want to look at their overall composition. Many people say they want to lose weight, and a lot of people now are on these, you know, medications that help you to lose weight, which could be good. But what we want to look at is, are they losing muscle? Do they have adequate muscle to support their function and what they need to be doing? If we're seeing that their muscle's going down, but their body fat's going up, you know, more body fat also means a heightened nervous system, more cortisol. So we're looking at that. And then lastly, we have our nutritional therapist that does a 15-minute free consult. So we want to know, like, what they're eating, what are they putting in their body, how can gut health and hormones and all these other things play a role in their overall health and well-being and helping them, you know, to live their best life and to ultimately get them out of pain, and then give them tools, you know, like the pelvic clock and other things that they can do on their own so they can, you know, keep a healthy lifestyle.
I think that's so interesting, the tie between the, you know, kind of anxiety and stress levels and something because I feel like I'm always being chased by a bear.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I really do.
For sure.
I even the breathing, I actually happened to be playing tennis this morning, and I just, even the simple things like breathing.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's,
I'm like,
super simple, but a lot of people don't do it. They hold their breath.
Why am I so out of breath? And like, I'm seeing stars. Well, because I haven't I haven't been breathing. Yeah. It's important, I find, you know?
Yeah.
You gotta breathe.
Yeah. When the bear is chasing you, it's very important.
Well, when the bear is chasing you, I think, yeah. Well, you just got to get out of there, though. That's a tough one. Thankfully, I've never been actually chased by a bear.
I know.
Yes, we have. We have.
They didn't actually chase us, but we saw a bear. Yes,
he was in the distance.
Yes,
he looked mad, though.
Yes, he did. He looked very hungry, actually. All right. Well, a couple of questions then.
Sure.
Because I'm also recalling one of our first, I think one of my first appointments with you.
Mm.
You asked me to describe my recovery process. And
my favorite topic.
My recovery process typically involved going to the pub for a beer.
Yep.
And no stretching. And this is not a joke either. No,
nope.
No stretching. Go right to a beer and unhealthy food.
Yeah.
And I'm so shocked that I was getting injured all the time.
I know.
Crazy. And so it gets me to think about what you've done at RunFest every year.
Yeah.
And the importance of recovery, and those that haven't experienced what Back to Normal does for RunFest, they've built out an incredible recovery zone because it's so important. And I was wondering, I mean, if you talk a little bit just about recovery and how important it is and some of the techniques, then specifically what you've been doing for RunFest in terms of the recovery zone.
Yeah, definitely one of my favorite topics of, you know, is recovery. And I always say it is the low-hanging fruit, right? It is just something that is there, ripe and ready to pick, but most people don't. And that's where I see if they're not warming up properly and they're not cooling down. So, you know, athletes love to compete, they love to train, but the recovery is as if not more important than the training. So I, you know, teach, you know, my clients and obviously at RunFest that, you know, you gotta, if you're gonna train hard, you have to recover that much harder, right? So you have to, you know, look at, you know, are you stretching? Are you cooling down your muscles? You know, we have technologies like Normatec boots, which is a wonderful compression that our athletes just love. So we have that. At the recovery zone, we use a technology called Beamer, which is a pulse wave therapy that stimulates our microvessels. So that helps to increase oxygen down to the cells, get all the lactic acid and the toxicity out of those cells and moving. And then runners feel like, oh my God, like I can get it and do, you know, you have multiple events. So we have, athletes that will come in and then they go right back out to do the next event or, you know, go the next day and they come back and they're like, oh my God, like I felt so great in my run. So doing things like that, you know, we obviously have massage therapists, we have the massage gun, we do stretching. So we really encourage the runners, you know, to come in and, you know, we have a huge team that comes out. You know, one of the things I love about working with you guys is just how integrated you are in the community. And this is what I love. I bring other massage therapists and, you know, other healthcare providers that work in other organizations to all come together just for the community to help the runners. And, you know, it's awesome. I love it.
It's a good sweat for sure.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you for all you do. It's an amazing part of what we're doing, too, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we can't let you go until we ask, because we're both big tennis guys, so you know this was coming.
I've been thinking about the story.
I was trying to think of, like, the embarrassing question, maybe. Like, yeah, your biggest crush in terms of the WTA, because those that don't know, Lisa traveled with the WTA
which is the Women's Tennis Association.
Almost a decade. Yeah. Around the world with Serena. I mean, you go to the website and I'm like, well, how many people do you know that have pictures on their website and quotes from Serena Williams, Billie Jean King? And I'm like, as tennis folks, I get goosebumps just saying that because they're idols to
me.
They're
amazing.
So, yeah, tell us a good story. I mean, we'd love to, personally love to hear a story.
I mean, there's so many, but, you know, one that I tell a lot of times at Michigan State, just because of some of the things that we're teaching there. But, you know, so when an athlete gets injured, right, we get called to court. And that's always like, talk about the sympathetic nervous system. It's like, doing. It's like, okay, you know, you're on center court of, you know, Wimbledon or the U.S. Open, and, you know, you're the one that has to go out. So I'll never forget, I went out for a court call for Venus. And I'm checking things out, you know, behind her. And she, you know, is quite tall. And so she turns around and looks down at me. And she says, Lisa, you know, you really are a shrimp. And I said, hey, do you want me to get you back on court or not?
That's great.
That is great.
So that was it's a story I always just remember. It was just her sense of humor. She had this. It was just great. It was just like, you're like, what?
How often did they call you out when they didn't really have an injury?
You know, not that often, because they knew, like, I mean, those were the rules and in our sports medicine department, we were pretty strict. Like, they could, you know, get in trouble if they were, you know, calling, you know, you out and they weren't, you know, injured.
Hmm. I'm trying to think here. I think maybe you're protecting them a little bit, but
that's the hard-hitting question.
Yeah,
we're asking.
That's
the hard-hitting.
Yes, because we're very interested in it for sure.
Because
yeah.
I know, I, you know, when I, you know,
you call people. Up.
If I was ever in that position and I was down really bad, I would do anything I could. So
he does it when we play now.
Yeah.
If I'm ahead, he calls for the trainer.
Well, yeah. No one comes.
Let's just say if that were ever to happen, so you go out there and you have time to evaluate. And if you determine that, okay, a medical, you know, timeout is not needed, then you would say, okay, here's some things that you can do. And then you go off the court. You don't actually take a medical timeout because you go out and you have, you know, they say try to keep it around 3 minutes, right, to do your evaluation, but you evaluate the person. And then when you're ready to take your medical timeout, then it's a hard, you know, 3 minutes where you look at the chair umpire and you go, okay, you know, beginning medical timeout, and then the clock is going. So as the therapist, you know, that's going out there, you're determining, well, is this something that warrants taking a medical timeout for?
Yeah, well, thank you for that hard-hitting answer, too.
Sure.
So, with the perspective of, you know, working with world-class athletes, professional athletes across the globe, and then, you know, for us that are not world class, that just are starting, you know, keeping healthy and trying to keep going, any advice you'd share? I mean, just you're to us, you know, average Joe is just trying to keep active and stay healthy.
Well, you know, look, I would definitely say to find whether it's a healthcare provider, a personal trainer. You know, I would find and build a team for yourself, right? And work with that team who can help you, you know, perform your best. And so, you know, so many people try to do it on their own. And one of the reasons why, you know, when I developed Back to Normal, I developed a team. There's a team of people that are there that have multiple things, whether it be fitness, how you're moving, your nutrition, getting you out of pain. So having a place that you can go who can really help kind of give you a program and, you know, tell you, okay, you know, here's what you should be doing. So for sure, I think building your team. The other thing that I would recommend is that if you don't keep a training diary, so if you're a serious athlete and you're really like trying to compete for a marathon, for example, like that takes a lot of commitment. And keeping a training diary is a very simple way that you can see how your training is affecting the quality of your sleep. You know, what's happening with your mood? What's happening if you either have a wearable where you can monitor your heart rate variability or just your heart rate? If your heart rate starts going up and you're seeing a rise in that, and then your mood, you know, you're getting more irritable, or you're not sleeping. These are signs that you're overtraining and you need more recovery. So it's a great self-management tool. I teach all my athletes how to use it, and it's very simple. And I would, you know, definitely encourage you to incorporate that into your training.
It's great advice. Yeah. I mean, I keep going back to the recovery because I think it's one of the things we can all do.
Yeah.
Or even if we're just training for a 5K, still hydrate, you know, get some food in you, stretch, you know, still need to recover, even if it's a shorter distance, because you build up, and then it's actually when you start seeing some real performance improvements.
Absolutely.
And stay healthy, right?
Yes.
And a lot of this at this stage of life is flexibility, is wellness, is staying active and keeping moving. So again, my goals are a little bit different maybe than Serena's, you know, but the same right now, it's important to be healthy. And
yes.
I think that's what you're sharing with us.
Staying on the court or staying in the game, right? That's, I think, you know, that's what we want to do.
That's right. Absolutely.
For sure.
And if you just add that recovery and you train smart, you know, use different technologies. You know, there's lots and lots of technologies that are available to the public or working with professionals, you know, like what we have at Back to Normal. We have some really cool technologies that can help you not only train, but recover and get you out of pain.
Well, on that, thank you for being part of the Good Sweat podcast and being
thank
such
you.
A big part of our community and part of RunFest. This has been super helpful for those of us that are just trying to stay active and healthy, to have someone that's been, you know, working with world-class athletes, and we'll be at RunFest to help us all recover. It's wonderful to have you part of the event and part of the podcast. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for all you do. I love this event. You know, I wish I could run the event sometimes, but it's just so much fun, and you create such a wonderful atmosphere for the athletes, and I just love being a part of it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.